right, time for draftphysics.com. Debate physics also, but can't find any courageous debaters on the subject to defend the conventional nonsense. So, Brozo has posted another video that basically confirms everything I've been saying for years. I mean, some of the points are, you know, 10 years old. Some of them are, well, some of them are 20 years old. It's not waves. That argument's been made for a long time. And the fact that it took me a while to figure out it's about point sources. Okay, I knew it was about the surfaces, but I didn't realize how deeply it's about the surfaces, that it's all surfaces, that the entire pattern is created out of something that must pass by a surface. If the photon doesn't pass by a surface, it will not be a fringe photon. That's the fact. So, I guess we'll go through the basic points that are being completely validated and verified by Brozo's video. So in spite of saying, he keeps saying something like I have a misunderstanding, no, conventional science is misunderstanding. All of the Van Breezen, all of the Professor Lewin drawings are complete crap, and they have nothing to do with what the actual experiment is doing. And that's what he's proving with this video, frankly. He was providing substantial supporting evidence that if they had bothered to make variable slits, it would become quite apparent that their wave theory completely falls apart. So if they had made variable with double slit experiments, if they had gone to the trouble, Brozo did it, so anybody can do it, they would have been revealed hundreds of years ago even, okay, at least 100 years ago, that the wave theory fails. Catastrophically fails to be an accurate description of what's taking place. This is not about some blob going through an opening, a blobby wave. None of that crap has anything to do with the truth. And instead of pointing out in his video that, you know, he just calls it interesting variable double slit patterns. So he can clearly call it a proof when it's some other subject. He can prove, debunk, proof. He can lie insanely in his other videos. Why in these last two videos is he not lying, okay, in terms of the description? Is it because the evidence is decisive that he's provided, decisively not defending his own nonsense? Yeah, interesting. So when he proves himself to be a fool and an idiot, he doesn't announce it. But when he proves somebody else to be, then it's a proof. And the real difference, the real funny part is these proofs are solid, where his other videos are pieces of shit. So it's pretty revealing that his intent is to be a slandering liar, and he's malicious. And he does it over and over again. And even when he's been provided evidence and reasoning to stop lying, he keeps lying. So it shows that his lying is not an accident. He didn't accident or misunderstand. It's not a misunderstanding. He's been given plenty of time to correct his lies, and he's corrected none of them. So I already did a video yesterday pointing out the lies in his comment section, and he hasn't corrected any of the lies. All right, so leave us read these. These are the basic points as they have been established by me, okay, as arguments for most of this for at least a year, okay. The fringe photons are made entirely of photons that interacted with the surfaces. So there is none of the light that goes through the middle of the opening, the aperture, whatever, the slit. None of the light that goes through the middle is at all disturbed, and it just ends up going straight towards the center bright spot. That's it. So anything that impedes that diminishes the amount of light, but the trick is if I put an impediment in front, so I have an opening, and I put an impediment in front, what am I doing? Well, from one perspective, there's certainly less light going to go straight through, so I've stopped some light from getting to the center. But the fact is, by placing two more surfaces in the experiment, I've now created twice as much light for fringes. So now I've added fringe light while I subtracted light going to the center. So that's a key thing to understand, is the surfaces are sources, the surfaces are critical to creating photons on the fringes. That is, photons that go, that don't hit the center, that hit some other point. So the more surfaces, the more sources, the more light to create fringes. All right. No photon energy that does not interact with a surface can become a fringe photon. So there's no such thing as a wave. There's no wave going everywhere, and there's lot, you know, none of that crap has anything to do with the creation of the fringes. The fringes are entirely surface generated. All right. The fringe size and number is dictated by the distance between the point source surfaces. So I guess I could draw this. Seems I've already done it so many times, but all right. So what's, as I have repeatedly stated, the Young diagram, okay, of the double slit, the traditional way they look at it, they say two waves come out of the openings. That diagram fails. Okay, it never gets the right answer. Mathematically, it fails to describe the double slit. It doesn't describe the full pattern. It has no chance of doing any of that. So this two-wave idea is crap. Photons don't go through both openings. Photons don't, you know, split in two. Photons don't go back and forth. Photons don't go in one slit and then back and through and out. None of that crap happens. All right, all of that Copenhagen bullshit is bullshit. All right, and the truth is, okay, is that the distance, the reason why they use the distance in their math is because this distance, okay, is a distance between two surfaces. So as I pointed out, these are just point sources. So all you really need to know is this. That's all there is to the experiment, is four sources. So the double slit, as I've repeatedly said over the last few years, is the four source experiment. There's four sources. The four sources are generating photons, scattering them in all directions. And there's a 50-50 chance, okay, that these two will be in phase, or these two will be in phase. And based on all four of them being in phase, you create the combined double slit pattern, which has two patterns in it. Okay, so I shouldn't have to draw this stuff again, but okay, the center being twice, generally speaking, the size of these nodes. And the reason why it's twice is because it's really two nodes. One node starting here, one node starting here. One node sending crap this way, one node sending crap this way. So it's really just two regular sized nodes merged together. So that's the pattern. There's two patterns. A pattern this size that represents the smallest distance. Now in this drawing, these distances are all the same, so the smallest distance is either this distance or the distance of the opening. Either this distance or this distance. But whatever the smallest distance is, that'll decide this big pattern in the background. And whatever is the largest distance, so when you merge two single slits, when you merge these two, you know, you bring them, you take, they're far away, you bring them closer and closer together, what you're really doing is creating this distance, this longest distance. And the longest distance between two point sources, a pair, you could call them, is creating the size of the little nodes. So the little nodes are created by the largest distance, the big nodes are created by the smallest distance, and the two just overlap. So we're all four sources are in phase, that is, they have the same frequency in phase. This would be out of phase. When all four sources are in phase, you get a photon and the pattern. Okay, when all four sources are not, when two are out of phase with the other two, no light. That's what creates the double slit pattern. It has nothing to do with any wave theory. It's all about vectors from point sources. The length of these lines is dictated by the length of how many wavelengths fit between the point sources. If I put the point sources very close together, as they do in the double slit, they say infinitesimally small slits. So if I make the slits very, very small, all I've done is take two point sources that were far away from each other and I've put them right next to each other. eliminating them as individual point sources. They can't have a wavelength of difference here if they don't have a wavelength of difference there. So if there's no wavelength of difference in here, there can't be a wavelength of difference here. Obviously, they can't create anything called constructive or destructive. Now, there is no constructive or destructive. There's just taking the little bits of a photon and combining them. And you have a 50-50 chance that you'll put them back in phase or they'll be out of phase. So the photons hit all the surface. Okay? These two sources are hitting all the surface. These two sources are hitting all the surface. And the question is, are they in phase or out of phase? So the photons arrive. They can't be seen if they're out of phase. If the pieces are out of phase, it won't be a photon. And that's the simple explanation. The energy goes everywhere, and all you're saying is, are they in phase or are they out of phase? If they're out of phase, dark spot. In phase, light spot. Same energy is hitting every single piece of the surface. It's another point I've been making for a long time. All right. So back to the text, I guess. All right, the fringe size and number is dictated by the distance between the point sources. So we should be able to understand that now. A large distance creates small fringes. A small distance creates large fringes. And it tells you exactly how many they're going to be. The size is telling you how many they're going to be, because as I didn't point out in the drawing, it all happens on an arc. There's no infinite plane that you're shooting the light to. It's on an arc, and the fact is the nodes do get a little bigger as you go across the arc. So they start off small in the center, and they get bigger and bigger as you go around the arc. But you can know exactly how many fringes are created. So something they never tell you. You'll never hear that in a Professor Lewin video. You won't hear that in a single scientific video on the subject of the slits. You'll never hear the fact that you can determine exactly how many fringes there'll be by just calculating these distances. The distances will tell you exactly how many fringes there are in total created in all of space. All right, so these are important facts they have never revealed. They don't tell you. They don't know. That's the simple truth. They're ignorant of these basic truths regarding this experiment, because all they do is keep talking the same 300-year-old crap. All right. In the two-slit pattern, the longest distance between two surfaces creates the small fringes. Well, I've already said that. And the smallest distance between two surfaces. Now, at one time, I didn't say that perfectly in the sense that I said, well, the single impediment does. Because I was just assuming, you know, that when that distance is the one you're controlling. But you can, it is possible to have the single impediment a little bit bigger than the openings, or to have the openings bigger than the single impediment. And it really just depends on which one is the smallest distance. So whether the slit openings is the smallest distance or the impediments distance is the smallest, whichever one is the smallest will decide the size of the envelope nodes. All right. And the smallest distance between two surfaces decides the envelope overlapping pattern. All right, two-wave theory cannot explain the double-slit pattern. Clearly, if you're going to say there's a theory here, the single-slit is the two-wave theory, and the double-slit is the four-wave theory. Okay, they don't say that, of course, because it would sound stupid, and, you know, there's no mechanism for generating waves at the fringes. They don't have any logic or reasoning they could explain that with other than turning photons into rays. A ray theory works perfectly. A wave theory fails catastrophically. That's the facts revealed in Brozo's video here. Okay, so I'm not going to play the whole thing. You should watch the video. It's very interesting, the pattern changes and whatnot. All right, so we'll put the video up and play some of it. And so the important thing is Brozo never articulated any of these facts. He never stated them as facts, so he just lies. So we'll read it. Yeah, we'll read his shitty description first, because it's just full of lies about the history. So we've always disagreed. He always figured it was some sort of wave theory, the photons and all this crap. And he never did any experiments while I was interacting with him on this subject. Okay, he kept defending the fact that radar experiments are wave experiments. That's clearly his agenda, so there's no doubt he never considered these rays and particles. So there's no insight he provided ever on this subject. All right. So he says, interesting double slit patterns, variable slits. Okay, 2 or 3 years ago, I began making variable double slits by various means. So he didn't do this when I knew him. Okay, when I knew him, he was just doing joke videos about the double slit pattern. In my excitement, I posted an important and interesting comment on Gary's Draft Science channel. Okay, so he keeps talking about this stupid fucking comment. Let's see it. Okay, because this is right when I found out he was stabbing me in the back. Okay, when he was starting to have, you know, he's making these derogatory comments on Hothleday's videos that I had no idea, okay, the agenda wasn't to help me prove I'm right. The agenda was to help him prove me wrong. Okay, this is before I knew he was a backstabbing, lying sack of shit, okay? And then when I found out, yes, I deleted his comments. I deleted as many of them I could see on my channel. I deleted whatever references there were to his channel. Because he was a lying sack of shit. Alright, it was all fraud and fake. Anyway, Draft Science wanting to share my findings. So he wants to share his findings. His findings were so fucking irrelevant to me, I couldn't have given a shit. He was going to tell me that, oh, he figured out how to read the slides, okay? These stupid moronic slides he sent me, which I didn't ask for, okay? Just understand. And he doesn't use in this video. So let's understand, this video that's kind of a really good double slit doesn't have any slides in it, okay? He manufactured a variable slit, and it's much better than any slide he sent me, okay? Much better. All right, I'll just go further, and then I'll, if I have to draw a Draft Science channel. I'm just saying, the slide is a slide, okay, with the paper outside, and it has these little fucking numbers written on it that were completely indecipherable, blah, blah, what the numbers represent. And so his big insight was he figured out what the numbers represent, and I couldn't have cared less because I could see the slits. I could see, oh, yeah, they're really narrow ones. Oh, yeah, they're ones far apart. I could see that. That wasn't what I was looking for. Anyway. Share my findings and some important information regarding how to interpret the slit and interpret dimensions printed on the commercial slit slides and diagrams. Yeah, I just couldn't care less, frankly. I don't know what a diagram is. But anyway, I asked Skyrim, so whoever this was, some person from 2 years ago who no doubt was an asshole, to help confirm my new understanding that slit separation widths are usually expressed as slit centers. So he's just telling me that, the one number means the center. It doesn't mean how big the slit openings is or some other kind of crap. Again, I couldn't have cared less. Didn't have anything to do with the theory. I'm trying to figure out the theory of what the hell's happening, and I just couldn't care less whether it's 1 millimeter or 0.5 millimeter or 1/10 of a zenith. It wasn't very important. Okay, not the actual impediment width. So this is just, so he thinks this was an important insight. It would have no value to me in terms of proving its particles. And clearly he knew that was my agenda, was to show an experiment that would demonstrate its particles, not waves. And you're not going to do that with these stupid slides. All right, the central bar down the middle and makes one slit into two, which has been both me and Gary's misunderstanding. I didn't have any misunderstandings, so that's just a pile of shit. I was on the right road, you were on the wacky wrong road, and that's just a fact. Since I first sent him the double slits with those dimensions printed on him. However, okay, whatever. Instead of being grateful for the information, well, that's a lie. When I received it, I mentioned it in a video. Hey, Steve sent me some shit, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, I wasn't like, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever received in my whole fucking life. But I made a video, and I was courteous and polite and stating that, gee, this is really nice, thank you, that's really nice of you. I mean, it's an envelope with a stamp on it, okay? It's not like he sent me $1 million or something. And more besides, Gary launched into an unprovoked attack. So this is just a lie, observable. Just watch the Hothleday videos, the ones he hasn't posted all of yet for some reason. So he posted part one and part two, and those videos are just pointing out how behind my back he's talking absolute shit about me. So, I mean, it's just proven. What do you mean, unprovoked attack? I mean, that's the silliest comment ever in the history of mankind. Unprovoked? You're backstabbing me. I'm having arguments with Hothleday, clearly. I mean, heated arguments, nothing like this crap. I mean, nothing like the slanderous asshole you have become. But, I mean, you know, he's making his, you know, emphatic statements about how I'm wrong. And here you are in cahoots with him trying to prove me wrong. Let's see if we can, you know, contrive experiments to do exactly the opposite of what I told Gary I was doing, which was trying to help him prove his point by doing some experiments on me, saying my comment was dopey and irrelevant. Well, then I still say it, and I'll continue to say it. So he didn't even open it. What the fuck? As he usually would on his comment reaction videos. That's an absolute lie. So maybe twice in the history of my channel, I've received something in the mail and then opened it, you know, done that little whatever that is. I don't think I've ever done it where I opened a blind box or something. So that's just a lie. But yeah, most of the time I didn't. Okay. All right. And a short while later, he had deleted it altogether. Whatever that even means. I didn't delete any videos. And clearly, I have every reason to delete your fake and phony lying comments on my comments section. So yeah, I did that when I found out you were a fake and a phony. Lucky I kept a copy. Why don't you post the fucking thing? And then everybody can see it doesn't have any theory in it. Doesn't have anything that means anything in it. Okay? It couldn't mean anything to anybody trying to decipher. Is it a wave or is it a particle? Certainly can't have anything to do with that subject. But he then began talking some, taking some of the information I had provided and another lie. So the dating of the videos and the comments, there's no way he's ever going to demonstrate that he gave me an insight before I already had the insight. So that's just bullshit. I didn't take anything from, I didn't learn anything from this asshole. Okay, such as the unusual idea of making variable double slits. I said that 7 years ago. So when I showed the Professor Lewin video 7 years ago, I said, well, they should make a variable double slit. So I can prove 7 years ago I made that comment. Asswipe. Okay, as shown here, and presenting it as his idea, saying that's not enough creativity and there's not enough creativity in science. Yeah, same thing I said 7 years ago playing Professor Lewin's double slit experiment. So again, just you want to try to make the assertion that I somehow, you said, well, they should make a variable double slit, and somehow I stole that from you. Then you're really wackier than I even thought was possible. Why didn't Walter Lewin take this variable single slit and put a barrier in the middle and make it a variable double slit? So again, he thinks I hadn't already suggested that idea years ago. Okay, and other suspiciously coincidental announcements. So it's obviously there's no coincidence because I said it long before you did. Anyway, I think the time has shown at least some of the hundreds or so video experiments I did back then. I think it's time I showed at least some of the hundred or so videos. So why didn't he show these videos? That's the big question, right? So he is now showing a video that demonstrates everything I've been saying about photons is absolutely fucking correct. I mean, it's a 100% validation of the points I just illustrated. All right, so he's proving me correct, okay, in every detail. And we have to ask the question, why didn't he post this before? This video is months old. He's had this sitting in his room for months. Why the fuck is he posting it now? I mean, I don't have an answer to that question because it seems incredible that right in the middle of him trying to say he's proven me wrong about anything at all, he posts two videos that prove me right decisively. I mean, you know, there couldn't be better wins for my team. Okay, I did back then, even though the picture quality isn't great. Yeah, well, it doesn't need to be. All right, so we'll just play some of this.
This is a slit.
So it doesn't have any of his, you know, clearly way before he started making all these insane accusations on the internet, playing all these games with Photoshop. I mean, this might be more than a year old. All right, and he never played it. So like I've said before, it's clear evidence. He has all these experiments he did that didn't come out exactly verifying what he wants to believe. And so he hasn't shown them. But why the fuck he would put it up now, I have no clue. Because what does it do besides just point out that all your vitriol, all your lies, all this mischaracterization of my argument you have made, You're just demonstrating it all to be malicious slander because you know the truth. You know I'm right. You know everything I just pointed out in those statements about the Young double slit experiment being a pile of shit, and you attempting to argue that I'm wrong in saying that, that I'm slandering scientists. These are the words you've used, that it's a slander to say they are wrong. And here you have the evidence that they are in fact wrong.
Slightly wider than the gap. When all three are equal, slit ones.
I mean, obviously you can't see any of this, so it's not about the poor video quality. It's about the fact that you just can't see any of it. I mean, there's no way to video a tiny slit.
Messy pattern.
All right, this is pretty shitty.
Spacings are a bit too close to one another.
So let's just get to the part. Frankly, I mean, all this is pretty crappy. I mean, there's a couple of points where he has the right distance to make a nice pattern. Okay, so that's a pretty good pattern. It obviously doesn't have the double slit character in the sense that we don't see. Well, you do see it. See, it's going off the black paper and getting bigger again. So you see it getting, that's the envelope. So it's the envelope is pretty big. Big envelope. But you can see that there's still subtle pattern, which means the two of them aren't completely not independent, all right? They're not acting completely with each other. They're a little bit, the two that are in phase, you can see these little tiny nodes in between. You could almost argue that that is evidence that it's really just two patterns being superimposed on each other. They're really not combining to create a true double slit pattern. So they're not in perfect sync. The phase is, the phases are overlapping. You know, there's a dot here and a dot here, and they're getting close to each other, but they're still out of, the two patterns are still out of phase. The widest distance isn't perfectly in phase. So when you get in perfect phase, then those little dots in between disappear. But it's not quite perfect yet.
If I'm narrowing the slit.
So you can see there's like two patterns, and then the two patterns, when he gets it to the right point, it makes them much brighter. You can see, okay. And so the key point was is how many nodes there are here. As I have been arguing for years, okay, at least a year, the central maxima, okay, is a composite. It isn't, nothing goes to the center. The two slits are straight lines, you know, 1 millimeter apart, so to speak. There's two experiments taking place, ones that are going this way, rays that are going that way, and rays that are going that way. The rays that are converging are meaningless because they all happen inside of a tiny millimeter of space. So all the rays going in divergent directions, rays that aren't going this way, or rays that aren't going this way to converge, rays that do this, are irrelevant because they're all landing inside of that center. They're not fringe photons anymore. So even though they were created by a fringe, they can't do much as fringe photons because they're colliding inside of a tiny amount of space. But anyway, the center maxima is really just two nodes doing this. And they're variable. They can overlap a little, they can be a tiny distance apart, but that's what they're doing. So it's really just a double single node.
You don't ever get to four, do you? It's like an odd number.
Right, and it's always an odd number because the nodes themselves are always an even number. So that's the catch. You just add up two of these. Wait a minute. No, that's the wrong way to say it. The nodes are also an odd number. Wait a minute. 7 and 7 is 14. 6 and 6 is 12. So the center maxima is always combining, okay, two things that are overlapping. And so that's why it is always an odd number, because it's always adding two to the outside. So it starts off as one, it goes three, then it goes five, then it goes seven, because it's always adding two on the outside. So as you expand, you're expanding out this way, so you're revealing nodes on the outside. So it always has to be an odd number because you're always adding two to the original one. Okay. Yeah, that's the best way to say it. Continuing.
So you go straight from three to five, really. Then you have two and a half subfringes per.
So there's no point in saying half fringe, okay? It's either you're seeing a part of a fringe or you're not seeing it, but it's really a whole fringe. It's just that you don't have enough photons getting there, okay, in phase to see it. But you're basically just starting to, you're opening the thing a little, you know, you're really making it tighter to make it smaller, but the point, I mean, to make it larger. But the point is so you're making the envelope wider by making the slits narrower. And because the slit width is in control, in this case, of the envelope, in this case, because it's smaller than the single, it's larger than the single, it's smaller than the single impediment, okay, the impediment in the middle. Anyway, yeah, so just leave it, I'll just leave it at that. You're just making it wider and revealing, okay, the more nodes because you're making the envelope larger so it can contain more nodes. But you're not changing the size of the nodes themselves. So these little bars aren't changing in size. You're just changing how many of them. Well, you either are. You're either changing how many are fitting inside the envelope. So you have the envelope, and that's staying the same. And then you can change the size of the little bars. Or you can have the little bars and change the size of the envelope. That's the right way to say it.
The middle, really. I'm stretching it some more now.
So this is when they're in sync. The more he stretches it, it goes out. You know, the phase changes a little because he's changing two of the point sources. So by changing only two of the point sources, obviously they go in phase, then they go out of phase a little, then they go into phase. So they're sliding in and out of phase into a different size.
There you go. Whatever number that is, I can't count antennas.
Yeah, whatever. It's always an odd number, so you can just go, you know, 3, 5, 7, because it's always adding. It's just widening or narrowing, so it's always doing it from equally from the two sides. So it has to subtract 2, or it has to add 2. All right. So we'll jump to this. I mean, really pretty pattern, right? So, and you can see that it's a double slit pattern because it's showing up here on the white paper. So you can see that the fringes are now really wide, big envelope. So he's got a very small distance. So he's created a very big envelope by narrowing the two sides coming in. He's narrowed the slits. And so now they're controlling the envelope and they're making the envelope very large. So now you have, you know, 20, 25 inside of one double node. So the little nodes on the fringe side here probably have 10 or 12 or whatever. But and that's why he's getting this big double node. But, you know, beautiful pattern. This, I'm just saying that clearly indicating this just doesn't have anything to do with waves.
Be wider than.
So you can see as he's moving it in and out, he's creating, out of phase. But the two, he has them open enough where both single slits are now creating a pattern. So you're just seeing there's one pattern on top of another pattern, and they haven't really merged as coherent patterns as the sources. So the one source has enough photons to make its own pattern. The other source has enough photons to make its own pattern. It's only when they don't provide enough photons, that is the slit width gets narrower and there's fewer and fewer photons, that the percentage of photons that become fringe photons go up higher and higher. So you can just understand, if I make an aperture smaller and smaller and make it bigger and bigger, the percentage of photons that get hit, that get near the surface, is very small when the opening is wide, and it's very, very high when the opening is narrow. So the narrower I make the opening, the more likely it's going to be a fringe photon, ironically. And the wider the opening, the less likely I'm going to have fringe photons, because the percentage of ones that go straight through is going to be so high that the center will get so bright it'll just wipe out everything else. That's why I have problems with the cameras adjusting the brightness. That's why he had to put it on a dark screen. It's because he couldn't see anything, because it would wipe everything out.
Impediment. In which case, the pattern starts appearing in the impediment, right? You see? Now, the impediment is now formed.
So he's just talking about the fact that he's now made the slits thinner than the impediment. And so now the slit width is deciding the node size. The envelope size, rather than the single impediment deciding the envelope size. So he had a standard envelope size. Now the envelope size is changing because he's changed which dimension is the smallest dimension. Again, it's just about what distance between two point sources. The furthest distance between two point sources, the smallest distance between two point sources will tell you all you need to know to describe the pattern.
Bing. The envelope for the pattern which now appears within it. So now, you see, you're getting lots more. Each of these, so we've got about three in each envelope, and each envelope is caused by.
So it's just using these the backward language. It's the now the envelope is the consistent pattern, and the little bars are inside of that consistent pattern. So you're just reversing which one you could call the envelope. Obviously, you can't have an envelope that's smaller than this bar size, but technically, that's sort of what's happening. All right, so this at the end is a good where you very...
Actually, I'll just demonstrate. I'll just close the slit back down again, which
there you
interesting
go.
To see. Yeah.
So you can see it goes in phase, out of phase, in phase, out of phase.
Anyway,
and at the end, he'll take the impediment away.
I just close the slit back down again, you'll see... You see, we transition from mode 1 to mode 2, as I would call it. So 3, 4, 5 fringes in the central maxima.
So he's just switching by going, the slit width is in one point narrower than the impediment. Okay, so the slits are narrower than the impediment, and there's a transition where those two switch roles, and now the slit width is wider, and now the impediment is going to decide the envelope. So the envelope will stay consistent, and the only thing you can change by changing the outside dimension is you're going to change how small the bits on the inside are. So once the slit width gets wide, it means the outside dimension is getting wider, which means the bar size is getting smaller, and the bars will get smaller inside the same envelope size.
7, I think. I'm just doing this on the fly. 8, 9, whatever. 10, 11. Whatever.
So he's going the opposite way. He's going narrower.
Now.
So that's even narrower. So now he's much smaller. The slit width is now much smaller than the single impediment. So he's stretching the envelope. The envelope's getting wider and wider.
No, we've gone a bit too far there. Let's go back a bit.
Well, as you can see, it's not really too far, but you can still see it over here on the white paper quite well. So.
Let's try that. That's a good pattern to work with, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice, clean pattern.
So now I'm going to remove the impediment, but I can't do it the same.
Right. So let's just, I just imagine you took a picture of this. Okay. I should have done that ahead of time, but it doesn't really matter. All right. So you just see the size is all that really matters here. You see how big this node is. Okay. The central pattern. And nothing's going to change except he's going to now remove two sources of fringe light. And so what's going to happen is he's basically taking the impediment out. And what that's going to do is it's removing two sources now. These two surfaces are now gone. They're not making photons to the outside world anymore. They're just making, all those photons are now going dead straight. So all the photons that were taking angles off the single impediment, all of those photons are now not making a contribution to the fringes. And they're just going straight through because they're in between two wide, one wide opening now. So he's basically just taking two sources out, which means you're really radically reducing the light that is fringe light, that is light going somewhere other than the center. And you've increased the amount of light going to the center. So the expectation would be the center would get much brighter and you'd lose the fringes because they're dependent on four sources. They're dependent on the light from four sources getting to that location. And now I only have two sources. So I have half the light going to the fringes. I've taken away half the light that was a fringe light, and I've increased the light going straight through. And that's what you're going to see exactly.
Time is filming, so I'll have to pause a minute. So I've removed the impediment, yeah? And that's what you get.
Right. So exactly as you predicted. We're making a ton of light that's going straight through. It's not fringe light anymore because there's no surfaces to diffract the light. So it goes straight dead through. And so now you've lost the fringes. And obviously you've lost the envelope pattern because you don't have two sources anymore. four sources. You only have two sources, so you basically just converted the double slit into a single slit experiment, but it still has the same node size because the outside dimensions haven't changed any. So the nodes are still the same size. You've radically increased the brightness of the center because you're sending lots of photons straight through now without being disturbed, and you've radically decreased the amount of light going to the fringes. So it's exactly as would be predicted. So again, that was the pattern, and all you've done is you've taken away the possibility of these photons combining, because you've taken two of the sources away that made these photons. Twice, half the energy has been taken away from all of these fringe photons. And so that's why they disappear. And they also disappear in terms of being able to see them, because those photons are now going straight to the center. And there's no, this little dead photon, okay, this one that's not there, obviously now, okay, the brightness and the contrast is completely different. So the camera adjusts to that huge change in the brightness of the center. So you're not seeing it exactly the way it is. But you can see it's the same size node, the same size bars is the important part. It's the same size bars, because you didn't change the outside dimension, you just took away two sources from the middle. So it's exactly what I would have predicted. So, again, it certainly does wave theory no good at all. It clearly points out that there's the four sources are controlling the experiment. It's not a double slit experiment, it's a four source experiment. It's not a single slit experiment, it's a two source experiment. That's what it's clearly pointing out. It's all about the surfaces. It has nothing to do with the opening. The opening is all dead here. This is dead opening. The opening just creates this blob in the center. The surfaces create the pattern. All right, clearly illustrated. So I think that's enough of a video. So, unfortunately, I will have to get back to the kinetic energy air track lie. They keep doubling down on their lies. I mean, you point it out in the video, you clearly illustrate it, and they just keep lying. It's just I guess there's nothing you can do to counter it except to keep pointing out they never address the actual points in the video. So anyway, till the next time and such. This has been a draftphysics.com video presentation and such.